The one who never quit, the one who never sinned, the one who never made a wrong judgment, he lives in you. You have, living in you, the heart of the finisher. Amen? And that is Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day and welcome to Love Never Fails. From Pastor Bill's study last time of Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, we're encouraged to run this race of faith with endurance, laying aside every weight and sin that so easily ensnares us. Today, Pastor shows us from God's Word, it is our faith in Christ is what enables us to endure to the end. Now, Pastor, with part two of Learning to Run.
Be strong in, or literally, be empowered within yourself, Timothy. How? By the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You want to know where the location of the grace is? It is in Christ Jesus our Lord, and you are in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? And it's telling us right there, that's the location and to be found in him and in union with him. What did Peter say, the last letter of Peter? What did he write in chapter 3, verse 18? He says, grow strong in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So the thing is that we need that grace. Why? Because you cannot run the race of works. You cannot run the race, and here are the rules. You cannot run a legal relationship with God and win. You're running by grace. If you get knocked down, then get right back up because grace will get you back up. Amen? Grace, there's power in grace. Amen? Oh, man, and you need to understand that. So that word race again, agon, if you will, to engage in intense struggle and conflict. Okay, let's learn something else. The race is sometimes intense, and we have to learn this about running the race. It is a good fight, okay? Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:12, he says, fight, there's that word again that used for race, it's agon. He says, fight the good fight of faith. Did you know that faith is a good fight? We never lose. Did you know that? It may look like we're losing. Listen, what does the Bible tell us? What did Paul say? Thanks be unto God of our Lord Jesus Christ, who always leads us in triumph, or always leads us in victory. Listen, do you believe that? God is leading you. It may be rough. It may be tough. It may be, oh, God, where are you? But if you believe he's really leading you, he is always leading you in victory, not ever in defeat. If he's going to defeat anything, he's going to defeat the weights in your life. You follow me? Now, so that's very important, but we have to learn to run. So what do? Let me give you another scripture. Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 11, 28, he says, come to me, all you who labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Here comes the command. Take my yoke upon you and what? Learn. Learn from me. Study me. Look at me. Let me be your example. Yoke up with me. I'll show you how it's done. Are you following me? He says, learn from me. Oh, I'm gentle. And then he says, I'm lowly in heart. Heart. There was a command to take his yoke. Now, is Jesus saying that we're like a bunch of animals and I'm going to yoke up like an ox with him? No. Now, that's not what he's saying. What is Jesus' yoke? His lowly heart. His lowly heart. Jesus said, listen, if you're going to learn from me, you have to learn from my heart. You have to be a student of my heart. For out of the heart come the issues of life. Amen? Oh, loved one, listen, are you a student of his heart? Are you learning from him? That's how you run the race. Listen, Jesus, did he finish the race that God sent him to do?
Yes.
He finished it, right? Okay, Colossians 1:27, Christ in me, the hope of glory. In me. I have the lowly heart of Christ. He lives in me. I have the heart of the finisher who lives in me right now. and lives in you. Do you understand? He finished. When he hung on the cross and he died, it is finished. He's the one living in you right this minute. Paul the apostle, who loved the Lord, Jesus saved him himself on the Damascus Road. He was going to Rome and Jerusalem, and the Holy Spirit warned him over and over in every city he came to. Paul, no, don't go there. Don't go there because tribulations and chains and imprisonment, oh, you're going to get it. And Paul said, no, none of these things move me. I'll say that again. Paul said, none of these things move me. Why, Paul? That I may finish my race with joy. Acts 20, verse 4. Loved one, listen to me. You know, every time I read that, I say, why was Paul not moved and I moved? Christians, the church today, it doesn't take much to knock us off the racetrack. Come on, guys. Then I say, oh, Lord. No, listen, Paul finished his race, but our race is not finished. Listen, learn to run. How do you do that? Again, one more time. The one who never quit, the one who never sinned, the one who never made a wrong judgment, he lives in you. You have living in you the heart of the finisher. Amen? And that is Jesus Christ our Lord. You have his life. How about one more? Ephesians 4:20. Paul writes, you have not so learned Christ. Well, what does that mean? It didn't say learn about Christ. Okay, he was born in Bethlehem. You follow me? The facts? No, this is talking about you have not so learned Christ, meaning intimacy with him. Not learning about him, but learning a person. Learning a person. Learning a person. How in the world, during the race of faith, how do we learn a person? Are you ready? If I wanted to know something about you and I didn't know you, what would I do? I would Google, right? No. I kind of observe you? I mean, if I'm at a gas station at midnight, there's some nice-looking people there. And I mean, would you just, you know, I mean, you follow me? You kind of keep, you're aware. Is that correct? Yeah. Okay, so how do we learn to run? Here's how we do it. You ready? The next verse, is it right there? We do it by looking. Watch this. Verse 2. Looking unto Jesus. There you go. That means that, listen, meaning looking unto Jesus means this. You look away from everything else. You look away from obstacles. You look away from others. You look away from yourself. You look away from the racetrack. You look away from circumstances, consequences, and your eye is fixed. Your gaze is fixed on Jesus. You can gaze over in chapter 11 and look at those examples, but your gaze is fixed on the supreme example of faith, and that is Jesus Christ our Lord, God in the flesh. Now, you have to beware of wrong focus as you run this race. See, it's what we look to. It's so easy to look to this, oh, if I had that. You already have the one you need. You don't, if I'm going to look to the pastor. Listen, don't look to me. I'm going to mess you up. No, listen, I'm a failure too. I know none of you are failures, but I'm a failure. Was Noah a failure? Was Jacob a failure? Did Abraham fail? Did Rahab fail? Everybody failed, but there's one that you can look to who has never failed. Do you understand? Don't look to pastors. Don't look to prophets. Don't even look to your best friend. Love your pastor. Love your whatever, your best friend. Love them. Care for them. But they're not your example. Oh, yeah, we'll get into 13 and it'll say imitate their faith. Oh, that's later. We're not there yet. But the thing is this. I can look at men, women of faith, and they failed and so have I. But loved one, when we put our eyes on the only person in the world, in the universe, that has never failed. Oh, man, never failed, cannot fail, and will never fail you. That's where you better keep your eye. Amen. That's how you look into the faith. And listen to me. Why do we do that? Why are we looking unto him? You know, we run to looking to the one who created all things, sustains all things, who's the heir of all things, who tasted death for us. All we could go down the whole list, who defeated the devil for all the things, took our sins. But we look to Jesus. Why? Look at it. Because he is the author. That word means the pioneer. It means Jesus is the originator. He is the one who takes the lead in pioneering the way for others to follow. It means this: Jesus is the supreme example of faith, and his faith is perfect faith, and that is who we are to keep our eyes on. Amen. Not anyone else, loved one. Only him. And not only that, look at, he is the finisher. That word means the perfecter, found only here in the New Testament. The one who completes, the one who finishes, the one who perfects or carries it out to completion of our faith. Now, so we look to Jesus. Why? Well, he is not only the source of perfect faith, he is the model of perfect faith. Amen? And that's why we look at him. And as we do that, we learn to run the race of faith, because he brought faith, all that the Father had given to him, he brought it to its perfect conclusion. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. And it says, who for the joy that was set before him, the joy that was set before him. I've pondered this verse, loved one, for decades. For the joy that was set before him. I mean, and I go, okay, what is it? What is the joy? I mean, was it leaving heaven to come here? I can't find any joy in that, but he did, I guess. Are you with me? Come on. To leave glory, to come to this God-forsaken nation, this land, the country that we live. Oh, think about it. I mean, and to be born from the throne to a stable, be born in a feed trough, a manger, hunted by Herod when he was 2 years old, and wanted him dead. His parents were poor. I mean, you think of all the things that he went through, and even his own family as he was growing up. Did his brothers think he was crazy? Did his disciples in the very end, right before he went to the cross, did they all desert him? Was there joy in that, in the scourging, in the beating, in the crown of oil? I mean, I have to ask myself, I'm asking you, what was the joy that was set before him? I can't imagine this. Listen, imagine Jesus on the cross, Jesus raised from the dead, Jesus ascending to heaven. He'd been gone for 33 years. He walks in, but he's different. He's now the God-man, 100% man without sin. Of course, 100% man, 100% God. And he walks in, the God-man, scar still in his hand. He walks in, and there's the Father. Can you imagine the conversation? Now, I'm so limited in what this verse means. I have to kind of think. And I go, dear Lord, what really happened there? What was that incredible joy? I'll tell you what I think. I think that his joy was this. It was, if I go, I will let my Father's heart out to the world, to those that are in Adam, because Adam blew it for everybody, those that are hurting, that have no joy, I want to give them joy. I want to show them what God the Father is really like. Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. He wanted to come to those that were leprous and prostitutes and those that are hurting and people that have died. He raised from. Listen, you want to know what God's like? You look at Jesus Christ. Do you understand? He wanted to save the lost. What does it say? The Bible, here's the joy. The joy was really you and me. Did you know that? He took your place and my place. What does it say? John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Not just loved the world, he so loved. Not the bees or the rivers, people, that he gave his only begotten son. What did Jesus tell the people in Luke 19:10? He said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that who is lost. In John's gospel, it says that he didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. The joy to see people ripped out of the hands of the devil and into the hands of God. That's joy, isn't it? Every time you see somebody come to Christ, is there joy? Every time we see somebody be baptized today, it's going to be joyful. And I say, dear God, to give real life to those that have no life, who sit in darkness, the shadow of death, to defeat the devil, the one who had the power of death. Oh, no. What did Jesus do then? The joy? Well, you know what it says? He endured the cross. That word is only there in the New Testament. He endured the cross, despising the shame. The cross, the most shameful, the most despised way to die on earth. It was reserved for the lowest of the lowest of the lowest criminals. And it says that he died. Philippians 2:8 says, and being found in the appearance of a man, he, meaning Jesus, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. And then it says, even, that's a big word, even the death of the cross, that most despised of all things. Now listen, obedient unto death. Death, he wasn't obedient unto death. He was obedient unto God the Father, unto death. Amen. Now, with all that being said, it says despising the shame. He didn't shrink back from that. He submitted to the will of God. He willingly endured. He never wavered. He never murmured at all. He endured suffering and shame. Let me give you a few scriptures quickly. Isaiah 50, verse 6. He says about the Messiah, about Jesus, I gave my back to those who struck me, meaning the scourging. I gave my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard, plucked them out. Man, that's what they did to our Lord. Here it comes. I did not hide my face from shame. He looked at his accusers, and you know what he said to them on the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Amen? There was no shame on him. Oh, no. He said, no. He says, I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. Remember when the Roman soldiers spit upon him? It says, the Bible says here in Psalm 69, 7. Now, Psalm 69 is a messianic psalm. I encourage you to read it. It's quoted seven times in the New Testament. Let me just give you a few about shame. It says in 69, 7, it says, because your sake, oh, I've borne this reproach. Shame has covered my face. Shame's all over me, the shame of man, not his shame. Psalm 69, 19, oh, Lord, you know my reproach. You know my shame. And here's one that should blow you away. Me, it blows me away. See, Jesus not only endured the cross, but he endured much before the cross, amen, in his life growing up. Listen to it, 69:7. It says, when I wept, I became a byword to them. When I wept, I became a byword to them, a joke, a favorite town gossip. You follow me? I became a byword. And those who sit at the gate, they speak against me. Here it comes. And I am the song of the drunkards. Now, that may happen with King David, but this is what happened with Jesus, loved one. I become the song of the drunkards. When Jesus was a little boy, it says, I wept. Why? Because they were singing about his mother Mary. They were singing about Joseph. In other words, let me give you why that I know that. John 8:41, it says, Jesus said, you do the deeds of your father, meaning the devil. And then they said to Jesus, oh, we were not born of fornication. Remember that? That jab at his birth? We don't know who your dad is. I mean, was Mary pregnant with the Holy Spirit? Was Joseph wanting to put her away privately? Yes. He didn't know either. He couldn't figure it out. The angel had to tell him. No, the rumor mill was going all around. And they said to him, oh, we're not born of fornication like you. We have one Father, God. And Jesus said to them, well, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, and nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. That must have been a horrible time for a little boy to hear that. Did he endure? Did he run the race of faith? Did he end up exactly where he wanted to? It says, and has sat down. Not will sit down. Look at it. Has sat down where? At the right hand of the throne of God, the highest place of honor, the place of all power and all authority in heaven and upon earth. And you know what God gave him? He gave unto Jesus the highest name that can ever be mentioned. Amen. That at the name of Jesus, those in heaven, those on earth, those under the earth, whoever they might be, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. They gave him the highest place, loved one. And you know what happened? No wonder the writer of Hebrews, look at verse 3, what he says to them, oh, consider him. That's an imperative in the Greek. It's a command. Consider Jesus. Consider, it means to study him. Put all together. Look at this man. Oh, learn from him. Consider him. Do you know Christ? If you don't know Christ, will you consider him? Because he considered you. He died on the cross for your sins. That's why God cries out. You want to know the heart of God the Father? He says in Isaiah 1:18, he says this, come now. Remember what the word now means? This precise minute. Come now. And God, listen to what God says. Come. Let us reason together. Let's talk about it. Meaning if you don't know Jesus, listen to me. God says, well, come to me. Can I talk to you? I want to talk to you about him. Come to me. Though your sins be as scarlet, I can make them as white as snow. Acts 17:30, truly in the times of ignorance, God passed over the sin. But now he says he commands all men everywhere to repent and to get right with God. If you don't know Jesus, you're listening live, you're here this morning, listen to me now. This is a church that's running. Oh, come and run with us. We're learning to run. I tell you, by coming to Jesus, you'll learn too. And I'm going to tell you something. I want you to listen to me now. If you don't know Christ, listen. The finish line is very close. The days are coming. And they might even happen today. Jesus is coming. You know, in the book of Revelation, do you know what Jesus said? He said in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, Jesus said these words. Listen, if you don't know Jesus, listen very carefully. He says this, "Oh, behold, I stand at the door and knock." Well, the door is, it's your heart. He's knocking on your heart. He says, I'm right by you, man. I'm right near you right now. I want you. I don't want you in Adam. I want you in me. I don't want you in hell. I want you in heaven. Amen? That's what he says. He says, I want you. I endured for you. I despise the shame for you. I did it for you because it was my joy. I'm knocking on your heart. Behold, right now, can you hear it? He says, I'm knocking. He says, listen now, if anyone hears my voice, and his voice is the knocking, he says, if you will open the door, guess what Jesus said he'll do? I will come into you and dine with him and you with me. That's the new birth. He said, I'll change your life if you let me into your life. I'll change it right now. And he says, here comes the promise now of the one who comes to him. This is the end of our race. I want y'all to listen to this, Christian. He says, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I also overcame. Remember, by faith, he followed God and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who hath an ear to hear, he who hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Loved one, listen to me. If you don't know Jesus, I'm telling you what, you can run to him because he has already run to you. He is right there beside you and he wants you. In Jesus' name, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If you're listening live, if you're in this chapel right now, and Jesus Christ is not your Lord, it's time to quit playing church, playing Christian, being a Jesus namer and not a Jesus follower. It's time. This is your day. It's right now, this precise moment. You come to him. Oh, he loves you. If Jesus is not your Lord, here's what you do. Just raise your hand and put it right back down and say, Bill, I want you to pray for me. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. If you hear that knocking, God bless you. That's right. If you hear that knocking, oh, please lift it high. Put it right back down where I can see it. Yes, I see it. God bless you. God bless you. That's right. Said, that's me, Bill. Put it high if I can see it. Anyone else before I pray? Hurry, join those that are now from the first service. Join them. Praise God. Anyone else before I pray? Well, Father, you saw those that lifted their hands, and you listen live right now. If you lifted your hand, you're going to pray this prayer with us. Church, help me. Say, Father, I want you in my heart. I want Jesus to be my Lord. I want heaven to be my home. I want my sins forever forgiven. So right now, I drop the weight of self and I run to you. Jesus, be my Lord. I believe God raised you from the dead. And Father, you promised if I believe that and if I confess Jesus as my Lord, you would save me. I believe. In Jesus' name, I'm saved. Amen.
Now, since Christ is the champion who initiates and perfects our faith, trusting him releases his power in our lives. Christ is both the exemplar and enabler. As we see him in the Word and yield to his Spirit, he increases our faith and enables us to run the race. God is so good, amen? Now, Pastor's study continues next time, and we trust we'll see you again. Thank you for listening to the broadcast today. And until next time, may the Lord bless you. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.